This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Might we see Christian Gonzalez today?
Well, I don't think we'll see him today. Continuing to improve, which is positive, and working hard. But I don't think we'll see him today on the practice field. So, again, just working hard, keep improving, staying engaged, still preparing as a starter and asking questions in the meetings and all those things. So, That's where we're at today.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on Christian Gonzalez. We'll get into his availability or lack thereof coming up in just a little bit. Who's calling the plays on defense? We'll cover that as well. We got grab bag for you. We got clip du jour for you. Before we get out of here at 2 o'clock, WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point with Hart and Fitzy and Ted. Former friend of the Jones and Keefe show. He was on WEEI Afternoons last week. Special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer.
Oh, that's right.
Just wrapped up talking. McDaniel's going to talk here shortly, so I'm monitoring some of the comments coming out. Yeah. I was amused by this. Jeremy Springer on Andy Borgalis missing a field goal in the opener.
Mm-hmm.
He said that foot placement was the primary issue that led to the miscue.
The bad foot?
I would imagine that's, outside of a bad exchange, bad snap, I'd imagine that's typically the issue on
a miss kick. Not a bad snap or a bad hold, chances are it is the kicker's fault.
Like, I'd put it on the feet. I am not a special teams coordinator. I don't want to oversimplify the man's job. I'm sure there's more complexity to it than I realize. But bad foot on that one, which we're going to want to get.
Good feet.
We're going to want to get that. I'm famously a member of Team Feet, Keith, which is why I'd like to see Drake May run more. It's like, oh, yeah, that's dirty. That's a dirty foot.
Yeah, I am very skeptical of Borgalis. Like, going into the year, you're like, that's kind of shaky during camp.
No, your take was they're going to
lose a game at least
because of their kicker. And yep. I don't think they lost week one because of it, but I can see how they're going to lose it because of this guy.
But clearly, it also didn't help what happened there. But yeah, it's just shaky. You don't have that confidence when he lines up. I think a lot of rookie kickers, you know, similar to what we said about Drake May and like fourth quarter comebacks, and like you have to see it until you really believe it. Same thing with rookie kickers. Like, let's see him make a bunch of kicks in a row or at least a couple of difficult kicks. And then you're like, all right, nobody's going to make 100% of their kicks. That's fine. But first one off the rip, you miss it. You're like, oh boy. So it could be a long year for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's monitor what McDaniel says when he meets with the media coming up. We'll pass along anything relevant that he says about Drake May, his plate, his leash. Where we've ventured into a lot of plate talk this week, Keith. We've ventured
tons
into leash
of Drake's
talk.
Plates.
Unleashed, off the leash.
I think he's off leash.
How much leash should he have? We've kind of shifted gears into leash talk. So we'll see if we get any of that with Josh McDaniels today. Meanwhile, you heard Vrabel yesterday. I still can't believe Gonzalez isn't back.
Man. Yeah, this is not promising. We're now over 6 weeks, I believe, since the hamstring injury, which the report, which could be wrong. You've mentioned this before. Could be wrong. It's also tough to really know with injuries. Maybe it was true and there was a setback or whatever. But they like no risk in missing week one. All right. Well, he missed week one. And wasn't even close. He wasn't questionable last week. It wasn't a game-time decision last week. He was just out, never practiced.
Never got on the field. You'll see this in the NFL, and we might see it this week with Gonzalez, but you'll see it. A guy gets out there for the Friday walkthrough, kind of jog through, get your feet under you so next week you can practice in full. We didn't even get that out of him last week.
Yeah, I would think you would have to have either a full week of practice or a week plus. At the very least, like you said, limited, then full, then he goes, or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I get all the, you know, you want to be careful with it. You don't want to have any kind of a setback, whether it's re-aggravating that injury or because of that injury, you hurt something else. You see that in sports all the time. But it does seem like we're getting up there towards, you know, when he should be back, and it doesn't seem all that great. It doesn't seem like it's really that close. You know, he was just being asked about it yesterday, and Vrabel's just like, no, not today. And you're like, all right, well, then I don't really know when he is. Could be looking at two games for a guy that, you know, was out the vast majority of his rookie year and is looking to have a really good year this year in order to get the big Sauce Gardner payday. I don't think you can go through the season missing a bunch of it and then still expect to get paid the same.
Yeah, so I think the team told you they expect him back by the Panthers game at the latest, right? And even Chris Godwin, I just saw this today. I mentioned his name earlier in the show. He's practicing today with Tampa. Now, I don't think he's expected back. That's why they didn't put him on PUP or whatever it was, IR, to start the year because they wanted him to practice. But he's practicing right now with Tampa. And I forget his exact injury last year. Was he an ACL or was he an ankle? What was his injury? I don't remember.
I think it was an ankle. And then yeah. I've read that he had a second surgery to kind of clean stuff up so he could get back faster. But he's still out like
so,
6 weeks.
So they and when initially when he avoided PUP, this was reported. That they're not putting him on that list because they want him to practice in the meantime, but they're not going to rush him back. He won't be back till October. There's nothing like that on Gonzalez. The only report we ever got was he was supposed to be back for week one.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a bad report for Jordan Schultz, or maybe he had a setback, or maybe the team expects him back and he's slow playing it. So the team told you, with the lack of putting him on PUP or IR, they told you they expect him back by the Panthers game. It doesn't sound like he's playing against the Dolphins.
No.
Will he start practicing next week for Pittsburgh or the week after that?
Steelers.
If we hit that point in time, Keith, I think we can really start looking at Gonzalez and go, now we know the team thought he was going to be back. I think they probably told Jordan Schultz he'd be back week one. Maybe it was his agent. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it was already out there that he's going to be back week one. There was no pushback on the initial report from Schultz. Then they didn't put him on PUP. If he's not back in the first month, something else is going on.
Yeah, it feels like something sticks. The only
you've been hesitant to go to the contract side of it.
I just don't think it makes sense because there's not something they can do right now.
But if he misses the first month, will you start to shift gears to there's something bigger at work with Gonzalez?
Yeah, the only outlier would be
setback.
Yeah,
there's been no report of that.
No, there hasn't. But that would be the one thing they could even lie to us about and say, you know, like Willie Abreu. Like Willie Abreu obviously wants to be back out there on the field for the Red Sox. I feel like the team probably thought he was going to be out there sooner for the Red Sox, and it just his body hasn't allowed him to be. So there still is a little bit of that. And honestly, if it wasn't for Vrabel's comment about maximizing his players' financial potential, I wouldn't think there was anything to this other than are he slow at recovering or he had a setback.
Well, I wouldn't think that either because they can't offer him an extension right now.
That's my point. It's like an NBA player
but they
with
can,
all their different rules.
But they can start to negotiate. Like, I don't think they're going to wake up the second they can offer him a contract and say, all right, let's start talking contract. I think I'd imagine if, I don't know Gonzo's agent, maybe I should, but I'd imagine if he has a good one, the second Sauce Gardner signed and J.C. Horn signed and Patrick Surtain signed, and who else am I missing? All these guys got their money. He gets on the phone with Kraft or Wolf or Cowden or whomever and says, guys, what this is what we're thinking for Gonzo, right? Like, I know you can't offer it today, but you're planning on offering that, right? Or you're planning on offering that plus X because the cap is going up. Like, I'd imagine they're already having those conversations. They can't offer it, but I imagine there's having those conversations, and maybe Gonzo's camp doesn't like where those conversations are going.
He has three agents listed.
Oh,
so
nice.
He's with CAA Football.
Oh, good.
Whatever that is.
CAA.
So, I mean, they can figure it out. But
good management. I don't know the specific agents, but good management.
It seems, but like to me, if you play it out, wouldn't the agents, maybe they're talking to the Patriots, but it's so early to talk to the Patriots. I mean, there were years with Bill Belichick and the Patriots where their first round picks, they would make play out the fifth year deal and then still wait to the end. Like Vince Wilfork.
Sure.
Wait to the very end. You had him under team control for 5 years. But even if Sauce Gardner signs and they're like, hey, that looks pretty good to us, doesn't it? And the Patriots could be like, yeah, play the year, look good, and then let's renegotiate, let's reset. I could see him or any player threatening to hold out for that year four or like another, you know,
right, but
whatever
gotta,
the last year.
But we got to get there.
You're not even close. You're not even close to there. And if anything, this would go against it. Be like, all right, like how committed are you to winning?
Do you buy, I've heard Phil say this, do you buy into any of the scuttlebutt about Sauce Gardner last year? He's making business decisions all year and wouldn't tackle, prioritize his health because he knew last year was his year going into free agent, being extension eligible where he got his big payday from the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, that's scary if that's true. I mean, I get that guys do it. I get it's super important and maybe even at the top of the list, but in order to get paid, you need to play well. At least that's how I would view it.
Fair. So you said something earlier, which I do agree with. If Vrabel never said anything about the contract out of thin air, it wouldn't be on my radar either.
Yeah.
But he did. Yeah. So, and I, part of the reason I wonder if there's something up with the contract, we don't know. But part of the reason I wonder is because Vrabel brought that up out of nowhere.
But play
and
this
we,
out.
And we said the second we yeah, put, no. we aired that live, the second it ended, we're like, what was that?
It was so strange because it wasn't about that at all. It wasn't even like a leading question, and then he just kind of answered it like, you know, he was maybe caught off guard. He offered it up. It was like, hey, Drake May is like a young leader on offense. Like, what about Gonzalez on defense? He's like, well, guy wants to get paid. No, he didn't say that, but like, you know,
no,
what I mean?
He
like,
said, he brought my up, job like, is to maximize his earning
that's
potential.
My job. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a college coach more than anything else, but whatever. That's how he viewed it. And I think players would probably hear that and say, oh, that's great. I like to hear that from a former player who's now a coach and he wants to maximize our earning potential. But I think the way to really do it would be to have like an all pro season. Like you're on a lot of these preseason lists, like you're a good corner, but if you don't play, you're not going to be on those lists, or at least you shouldn't be. Like, let's play this out. If he has eight good games, say he plays eight games this year, and he's good, does he get the Sauce Gardner deal? If I'm the Patriots, I wouldn't. And I'm always, like, on the side of the players, but I'd be like, you're not playing.
Let me ask a different question, because my answer would be probably not. But let me ask a different question. Does he want it?
You mean here?
Yeah, so, no. I'm saying, regardless of whether I would pay him or the Crafts would pay him. Is that what he wants? And is that already some of what's going on?
Oh, right. Like, no, he probably wants more. I mean, you're the next guy up. You want more.
The Patriots might be in the right, for all I know, to sit there and go, well, yeah, we'll negotiate with you next offseason. I'm not even saying they're wrong. But that might not be how he and his camp view it. They might be like, let's start talking now. Because when I'm extension eligible, I want it. When did J.C. Horn get paid?
Oh, that
was it 2 years ago? He played six games 2 years ago. Last year, he played 15. So I don't know the timeline on when he got paid. He's a corner I know was injured recently.
Do you know how many games Sauce Gardner played before he got paid?
50.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah.
Played in 48 games before he got paid. Gonzo's played in 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not, again, the Patriots might be right to say, hey, we want to see more. That doesn't mean that's what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So how would his return, whenever it is, impact?
J.C. Horn signed March 10th.
This year. Okay, so he played 15 games last year, so that makes your point. I was going to say, if they paid him after the six games, that might be a good comp. Or he only played in six games and missed more than half a year. 617-779-7937, how will Christian Gonzalez's return change how they call the defense? And by the way, who is calling the defense?
Who's calling the defense?
Let's get to that in a moment. I just saw a tweet from Bedard.
All right.
Bedard has watched the Dolphins and Colts film, Keith.
Brag.
Big time.
On his behalf. Yep.
Good for him.
Yep.
He says, yes, Miami had some really bad plays, and I know nothing of its internal dynamics. I know nothing of it either, but I have some guesses. He says, but I think a lot of the game was that the Colts are pretty good. Who knows about the QB, meaning Daniel Jones? But he thinks the Colts
are good. I know about the QB. The QB stinks.
Okay.
Daniel Jones?
He says, there was some good Miami stuff in the film as well. I don't think they're a disaster, ... yet. So he's actually talking up the Dolphins film a little bit.
Which one of their 8 points was your favorite? Yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are very good. Now the counter would be how good are the Patriots,
correct,
which I understand. But yeah, I don't think the Colts and the Dolphins are going to be duking it out for any big meaningful games late in the year.
All right, so
can I give you a couple McDaniels nuggets that are trickling out?
Oh yeah, go for it.
Mike Reese posts: what did you learn about the three running backs in the opener?
The Cerberus. I'm sure that's what Reese asked.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He didn't. He left that out for some reason.
Dang. Maybe he was just editing himself. Yeah.
What'd you learn about the Cerberus backfield?
Yeah.
I'm going to paraphrase.
Yeah.
What'd you learn about the Cerberus backfield? McDaniels, quote, they need the ball more.
Oh.
So I think they're going to run the ball more.
Good. I agree. I think after – I said this earlier in the show. Vrabel is either going to tell McDaniels to do it or McDaniels is going to realize it himself. They weren't getting blown out. The fact they went away from the run is kind of crazy in retrospect.
Yeah.
And I bet they realized
that.
They
do need the ball more.
That sounds like they realized that.
Our guy Taylor Kyles, who was on our show yesterday, he says that Josh McDaniels says he thought Drake May protected himself well versus the Raiders, which the offensive coordinator adds is an area where May has grown.
So that's patting himself on the ass there.
Correct.
Like, I did a good job coaching that out of him, the recklessness.
But so I don't like this.
No,
so this,
I don't like that either.
Neither do you. But I feel like Vrabel was in this too. I would lump Vrabel and McDaniels together based on everything that they said.
On this, the running quarterback and protecting
they agree.
Him, I think they're aligned, yeah.
But I think May was being like almost comical with the way that he slid. He had some weird slides where it was just like nobody near him, and he just like falls down and like puts his feet way up in the air, lands like almost on his back, and he's like, I'm down. And they're like, yes, good one. So it's like, great. I'm not saying you lower your shoulder like you're Jerome Bettis trying to pick up an extra yard, or if the first read isn't there, you take off and run. There's got to be some middle ground there. Where he can still run, like pop on, I know it's college, but pop on some of like the North Carolina highlights of him. Let him run around a little bit. Make defenses worried about him, not this like panicked run and slide. He shouldn't run the way like Brady and Mac Jones ran.
No.
Like he can't, he can do it.
Yeah, it's silly to put the governor on him. There's a few more details on May. Did you see these? McDaniels was asked if there's too much on Drake's plate. He says, no. He then went on to say that Drake is going to be a really good player. He said he's a young quarterback, and I'm reading from Andrew Callahan here, so there's like an ellipsis in here. So there's a delay. I don't know what the full comment is, but he says he's a young quarterback, .. He's the right guy. So McDaniels thinks he's the guy.
Okay.
At least he's saying he thinks he's the guy. So there you go.
But there's not too much on his plate.
Okay.
He said no.
We'll monitor more from Josh McDaniels in the meantime. Who should call plays for the Patriots this weekend, Keith? I don't know if there's been an update on Terrell Williams today. If there is, I haven't seen it. We're supposed to get one later in the week, quote-unquote, is what Mike Vrabel said yesterday. So Vrabel said it's going to be maybe him, maybe Zach Kerr. Who should call plays Sunday against what Greg Bedard thinks is not a disaster Miami Dolphins offense?
It should be Mike Vrabel. I mean, I feel like it's way too harsh to say like it's a desperate game for him because it's week two. But with everything going on, the performance that you had in week one combined with what Miami is and what they looked like last week, I think you just need to do whatever is best for the team right now. Because ideally, Terrell Williams comes back and is your D coordinator. And you know what? If he isn't, that's another decision to make down the road, down the line. This is an area where Mike Vrabel has done it in the past and should do it now. You know, the bigger debate would be like, if McDaniels wasn't calling plays, and then like, all right, where that trickle down is and blah, blah, blah. This one seems like an obvious, all right, your defensive head coach, who was a defensive coordinator, your coordinator's down. Rather than the inside linebackers coach in his mid-30s that has never done it versus somebody with all the experience that Vrabel has, I'd rather Vrabel do it. Now, what Terrell Williams' season looks like, they have a better sense than we do. So maybe you're kind of coaching up Zach Kerr
right
during the next few weeks to be like, hey, we might want to at some point have you do this.
Right.
But for week two, I'm having Vrabel do it.
Yeah. For Sunday, Vrabel should call plays. I'm with you 100%. If Kerr's calling him by the end of the year because Terrell Williams needs to stay away for the rest of the year, which we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't know that. If I were, and I know it's a big opportunity for him to be a defensive coordinator for the first time and call defensive plays for the first time.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
Maybe has aspirations to be a head coach or whatever. Like, I don't want him to miss out on that opportunity, but I'd probably tell him to take some time. And hope for the best for him. So assuming he's going to be out for an extended period, and he's had a number of health scares already, maybe you're coaching up Kerr for later in the year, but you're right. On Sunday, it's Vrabel. And you make a good point. You're not asking him to call offensive plays or do something he's never done where the head coach is picking up the slack. You're asking him to do something he's done before to win an important game. You know, some have called it a must-win. You and I haven't gone there, but it's getting there.
No, it's closer to that, though.
But it's an important game. It's a big game for your whole operation. Get in there and call plays on Sunday. That's who should, I think, call plays this weekend. So I'd agree with you on that. And, you know, I'd hate to come out of the game if I'm Mike Vrabel kicking myself because a guy calling plays for the first time, Zach Kerr, doesn't know how to limit a big play here or a big play there. You made a great point earlier. It's like this opponent, Keith, Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, you screw up a play call, it's 85 yards to the house.
You're like, oh, we you know, dialed up a good defense except for that one third and 10 where Tyreek Hill took it 75 yards.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And so I know what the Raiders did to the Patriots last week, but I would say the Raiders, with a lack of real explosive playmakers, maybe that's a better game for a guy like Zach Kerr. The Dolphins, with explosive playmakers, they might not be able to get on the ball the way Tua played.
Right, true.
But if they do, look out. Vrabel should be calling plays this weekend. And he's going to talk tomorrow. Maybe we'll get our answer on that. Josh McDaniels continues to speak right now. Anything else that trickles out, we'll be sure to pass it along here on Jones and Keefe. You can stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour coming up. And it's time for Grab Bag.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe. Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. And Jones, week two in the NFL kicks off tonight. And you got yourself a pretty good game. Jaden Daniels and the 1-0 Washington Commanders against Jordan Love and the 1-0 Green Bay Packers. 8:15 kickoff. Packers are 3.5-point home favorites.
Okay. So short turnaround for Washington. Jaden Daniels is going to play. He was on the injury report this week. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
But I'd add that to the list. All right, real quick. Who do you think wins the game?
Packers.
Who do you think the Packers cover the 3.5? Yes. I think the quick
That'd be my
quick
bet.
Turnaround for Washington is not ideal. I bet the Packers win pretty handily.
Do you have a anytime touchdown you like out there? Josh Jacobs, he has like a streak of like 9 straight games.
Well, he probably does score, but what he's got to be minus.
No, I'm just saying for us. I'm not saying to bet it. I'm just saying, predicting a touchdown here. I would say Jacobs probably gets in there.
It's a good one. Bill Kroski Merritt on the other side. Maybe
he
scored
guy.
Last week.
ESPN still being very disrespectful. They got him listed as Ja'Cory.
Yeah, they're not even his name right.
Bill.
Now, how long did
Josh
it take?
Josh Jacobs is minus 200 tonight.
Oh,
Tucker
wow.
Kraft is second at plus 195.
What's Bill at?
Plus 165?
Sprinkle.
Yeah.
Good odds
there.
A little sprinkle
there. What's Eckler at if you got it in front of you? I don't hate Eckler either.
Plus 250.
Jaden Daniels run one in, though?
Oh, good
call.
That. Yeah, good call.
I'd rather that.
All right, but I think the Packers, it's a fun
game,
Packers
Commanders, two likely playoff teams.
Another year two quarterback with Jaden Daniels in a primetime game, and we got Parsons for Green Bay, but I'd expect the Packers to win comfortably.
Pretty good.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want
grab bag.
You can't handle them.
Grab bag.
All right, I thought this was of note, Jones, as Boston Bruins rookie camp is underway. The season's really just around the corner for the Bees.
Okay.
I was looking at this courtesy of betonline.ag.
Yep.
A lot of odds. So take it for what you want, but it's basically how they feel about the upcoming season. There are three teams that were favored that are favored to miss the playoffs this year.
There's only three in the whole sport?
No. That were favored to make it last year.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I was going to say. I was like, that's wild.
Can I finish?
Yeah, sorry.
Can I finish?
Sorry.
So basically, last year at this time, there's three of these teams they thought were going to make it last year, and then this year they now think are not going to make it. One of those teams is the Boston Bruins. To the point where the Bruins making the playoffs, a yes bet on Bruins simply make the playoffs, wild card team, wild card two, win the division, whatever. +325.
Ooh.
Miss the playoffs, -450. So if you play it out.
Wow.
The odds indicate that the Bruins have just under an 82% chance or likelihood of not making the playoffs.
-450 to miss the playoffs?
Isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
I am very proud and pleased.
Because this team,
I'm sorry, one more time. +360 to make it.
No. +325 to miss. Yes. No. -450. No.
Okay. It's 325. I'm sorry. I thought you said 360. So, sucker's better buying opportunity.
Well, I would think if anything, yeah, you do like a couple of bucks on them making the playoffs because it's hockey. Half the teams make it. You don't even have to be that good to make it. They have an elite goal scorer. They have what could be a good defensive pair and what also could be a good goalie.
I think it's a buying opportunity. That's a long, just to make the playoffs. You're right. Everybody makes the playoffs.
Everybody makes the playoffs. Not that hard. Look at some of the crap teams that make it.
Except the Bruins last year. But yeah, I
think we need to maybe get in on this +325.
I think it's a buying opportunity.
That's huge juice.
All right, I like this.
Well,
good.
Even with how bad they were last year, there's like, what, 4 or 5 weeks left in the season? They were still in it.
They really weren't out of it until they really like bottomed out.
Mm.
Even when they were playing poorly.
Remember briefly after they traded Marchand? We're like, are they better without Marchand? Remember that?
They literally,
and
it was like two games.
The playoff hopes died.
Yeah, it didn't work out. It wasn't our strongest take, but yeah.
Yeah, but to Nick's point, they fired their coach, then later traded their captain and every other player on the team.
Anything that wasn't nailed down.
And they were like, a couple points out. So, like, if Swayman has a halfway decent year.
Buying opportunity.
It might be. We've just talked about
buying. Yeah, we're buying. We're buying. Yeah.
Stanley Cup.
Yeah. This is loneliness and loneliness is cleanliness
and cleanliness is godliness and godliness. Grab bag. Just like me.
Little tail on there.
Yeah.
Little tail on there.
Yeah,
all right, from the Bruins to the Celtics, we have some Jaylen Brown audio from a, was this a recent podcast that he was on, I believe? Where was Jaylen Brown for this? He was on the audio.
Radio. Podcast.
Sure.
Some audio medium.
He was out there in the world using his mouth to speak.
Yes,
and this
is
what he said.
Is there any chance?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, D.
Ever. I got to back this.
Stands for everything.
This rules. It's rules. I gotta play by the rules too.
Okay.
Is there any chance that we see you in a hometown uniform?
You never know.
Okay.
What's the rules? What rules you gotta play by?
I mean, I work down there, so I have to. You know, I don't need nobody calling me like, "What you doing?"
Tampering.
Yeah, right. I ain't doing that. Just you know, I would love to see you play for the hometown.
Nah, I feel you. Nah, I think my grandma would too.
Your grandma been talking to you about it?
Yeah.
Look,
that's the biggest question there is.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, but you never know. We'll see.
So hometown team being the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah. He's from just outside of Atlanta.
Isn't that tampering?
Yeah, well, no, I guess it's not tampering, right? Because those are the guys that he was doing the interview
radio.
With aren't with the Hawks or anything. But will he play for the Hawks? I know some people view that as like, oh, my God, like he's not going to be here. I don't mind that talk. He's been in trade talks pretty much his entire career, and you can count on one hand great players that play for one team.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean he's one of the Hawks next year. It just means like by the end of his career, he's playing for the Hawks, maybe.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce played for like four teams after the Celtics.
So fair. And if he was going to leave, I'd be more fearful of other organizations than the Atlanta Hawks, personally. But what I would do is I would lump that in with everything else this offseason where it's like, doesn't feel like they're trying. They're more worried about saving money. And maybe if you want to read into it, he's just a little miffed at why they're not trying in a year without like, if I were him, this is how I would handle it.
Okay.
I'd look at it and be like, why aren't we trying to maximize and go as far as we can this year? I'm a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a franchise player. I can take this team on a run. why are we punting on the year and worried about our bottom line? And we're not even going to try until Jason Tatum comes back. So maybe I will look around at other teams like Atlanta or wherever else. I just lump it in with the whole direction for this year, which is just really underwhelming. I've been reading daily. Forsberg is doing a series over at NBC Sports Boston, which is like questions going into training camp.
Oh, yeah, they got a few.
You read some of the questions and you're like, it's this dog crap player versus that dog crap player. And you're like, man, I'm starting to think they're going to be worse than what I was expecting them to be.
Still playoffs, though, right?
Oh, playoffs, yeah. Be. But I've been saying top four seed pretty consistently. I'm starting to get a little shaken of that.
Could the Bruins
dissuaded
have
from that?
Five or six?
Seven or eight.
Could the Bruins
have a better season than the Celtics?
No, no, yeah, okay. Not that.
It's not going crazy.
I mean, I'm buying
yeah.
on a playoff appearance, but not better than that, no.
It's Grab Bag on Jones and Keefe.
All right, how about this? Red Sox are off today after a loss yesterday. Peyton Tolley didn't really have it.
No.
And Rawls Chapman did give up a run for the first time in a dog's age.
Couple of hits.
Which is a good thing, everybody. He'll be locked in now for the playoffs. You don't have to worry about it falling apart in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the Michael Gee theory.
That's what we heard.
With the Rich Keefe corollary to it, yes.
So no game for the Sox. Open up a three-game series with the Yankees starting tomorrow, a game that is only on Apple. So listen to it right here on WEEI or the Odyssey app. Rob Bradford, who joined us earlier in the show, tweeted out not too long ago, Craig Breslow will prioritize finding a general manager early this coming offseason, has gone without one in his first two seasons.
Okay. So first of all, Bradford, thanks for the info.
He is the contract extension officer.
See, now this
so this is what he needs. Get a guy that comes in here and just specializes on trade deadlines. He could be a two-headed monster there in the front office.
Bradford does everything else. Breslow does everything else.
I'll let Bradford do
it. And then the new GM.
Yes.
Comes in and negotiates at the trade deadline. I like that idea. Because the way Bradford tweeted it, and we'd ask him if he shared this information with us when he was on earlier. But
he's saving it for that tweet.
The way he tweeted it makes it sound like they're going to bring in someone from outside the organization, right? They're going to prioritize finding a GM early this coming offseason. That doesn't sound like they're internally promoting someone. That sounds like it's a search.
How
about a nice greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty
grab bag.
He only needed 64 pitches. They got him on a bit of a pitch count now for the rest of the season. But Pittsburgh Pirates ace Paul Skeens flew past the 200K mark. So even though they're out of it, their team stinks. He's over 200 Ks. He is an overwhelming favorite to win the NL Cy Young.
That used to, I mean, I remember when we were kids, Keith, 300 Ks was the number. Now 200.
Chris Sale did it here.
Yeah, well, did he do 300? Did he get the three? Wow, so there you go. So not even when we were kids.
Farrell blew his arm out trying to get him to 300 saves. Sorry, 300 Ks.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Now 200, really very few guys even reach 200 these days.
Right.
But good for Skeens getting there. Nice.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Grab bag.
The Primetime Emmy Awards are this Sunday. Comedian Nate Bargatze is going to be hosting the show.
Ooh, my wife is a fan.
And we got some odds. We got some odds for this. Severance is the favorite for outstanding drama, minus 250. The Pit is second. Everything else is considered a long shot.
Wow, so those are the top. Those are
top two shows.
Duking it out.
I didn't love The Pit. I thought The Pit was fine.
Yeah. So you're voting Severance.
Oh,
there.
My God. Yeah, my vote in Severance.
Is minus 250. I don't follow these award show odds very much. Is that like pretty heavy or do you see like stronger odds?
Oh, you see stronger.
For
so, for example, Noah Wiley from The Pit is minus 500 to win Outstanding Drama Actor.
Wow.
Kathy Bates from Matlock.
Oh.
They dusted off Matlock. She's minus 400 for a drama actress. Carrie Coon. Minus 120 to win drama supporting actress from The White Lotus. I'm a big Carrie Coon fan. Mm. Outstanding comedy series at minus 2,000 is The Studio.
Wow.
Which I did
you
not care for.
You didn't even like it.
I didn't like it at all.
Okay, but to answer my own question, minus 2,000. So the odds go way stronger on these. Okay.
Oh, so some of these are crazy.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, minus 2,000 to win comedy actor. Gene Smart, minus 1,500 for comedy actress. So yeah, there are some that are just kind of overwhelming. But
okay.
I don't know. There you go. I'll probably... Oh, yeah, I'll be honest. Probably not going to watch much. I'll look up the results.
Okay. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone?
to be in paradise and put up a grab bag.
Do you want your daily Rafael Devers update?
No.
No? Well, what did the Giants do yesterday? They didn't play.
Yeah, they did.
They lost.
Oh, they lost?
Yeah.
Wait, where did they play? Oh, they lost to the Snakes.
They played a day game.
They played the Snakes.
Day ball.
My bad. Day ball. Yeah. Rafael Devers, 1-for-3, did drive in 2, had a double, but they lost because they're getting oh so close to a playoff spot.
The Mets also lost to the Phillies yesterday, so the Giants are still only 2 games out.
They are tied with the Reds. The Reds have won back-to-back games, so the NL wild card spot, you have the Cubs way out in front, then the Padres for the wild cards. I mean, Mets are third, but only, like you said, 2 up on the Giants and Reds. Snakes still kind of hanging around-ish.
Ish.
At 3.5. I don't know if you'd say that or not, but there.
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness, rob back.
That was a dramatic one.
Yeah, it was slow build.
All right, let's find out who the best baseball performer was from Wednesday, September 10th. Jones, was it Jake Berger? 2-for-3, 2 home runs, 3 RBI, 3 runs scored. Was
Maybe.
It Mookie Betts? I haven't heard his name in a
Possibly?
While.
Possibly?
4-for-5, home run, 5 RBI.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Was it Max Kepler? 3-for-4, home run, 5 RBI. Mm. Was it Juan Soto? 3-for-5, home run, 2 runs scored, and a steal.
I like that.
Was it Blake Snell? 6 scoreless with 11 Ks.
Ooh, nice.
Or was it Nick Pavetta with 7 scoreless? 8 Ks.
Let's go Mookie.
Mookie Betts, congrats.
Yeah, let's do it. You're right. We haven't said his name much.
No, we have not.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, we've got a bit of a journeyman who spent most of his time with the Chicago White Sox, but also pitched for the Mariners, Orioles, Dodgers, Twins, Rangers, and Mets.
Wow.
Was a one-time All-Star, was runner-up in for the Rookie of the Year in separate years. Those accolades both with the White Sox.
Wait, he was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year 2 different years?
No. I mean, like, he was an All-Star in one year. He was not an All-Star in his rookie year.
Got it. That makes more sense.
I was like, how does that work?
Yeah. Play it back. I said it right.
No, I said it real smart. Me and Nick were looking at each other confused. I don't think we were fully listening. Yeah,
it would be the first time you guys did that.
Got it.
He's a right-handed pitcher. He broke into the majors in 95, although his full rookie season was 96. His last pitch was 2005.
Okay.
Had a career ERA of 5.
Oh, no.
But was a 2000 All-Star with the Chicago White Sox.
Okay. It's not that we've guessed Freddie Garcia before. It's not Freddie Garcia. No. He was with the White Sox. He started with the Mariners. All right, made an All-Star team with the White Sox.
Yep.
Runner up for Rookie of the Year with the White Sox. Yep. Pitched a number of other places.
He did.
Always a starter?
Guessing he was a starter, yeah.
I think he might have always been a starter.
Okay, you know, late in his career, maybe he bounced around, but you'd think of him as a starter. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. A 5 ERA.
5 ERA. Yeah,
that 200. Means he was on like 7 teams from the 01 to 05.
Yeah. Well,
he bounced around a bit after that 2000 All-Star season with the White Sox. But yeah, he had 79 wins, 74 losses, a 5.01 ERA.
He pitched for the Yankees, you said?
He did not.
No,
Mets.
That was not a Yankee team. Sorry.
266 games, 202 starts.
So I was gonna say, we've had Esteban Loaiza.
It is not, so not but it doesn't mean it can't be, but it is not Esteban Loaiza today. He did make $13.1 million.
That's low.
Real low. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
An All-Star, for God's sakes.
More than Desi Relaford, but it's less than some other names we've
had. That's true.
Yep. Anything back there, guys? Anything? I'm going to cheat and look.
Does not have it. Nobody has it unless it's scrolled past. They might have already been.
So Twitch chat is guessing Roberto Hernandez. It's not Roberto Hernandez.
No, it's not.
Oh, I guess Esteban Loaiza and Freddie Garcia. It's not either of those. Jason Bray?
No, it's not him either.
Nobody's got it?
No. Oh, there it is. Oh, now it's coming in.
James Baldwin.
He got it.
I remember him.
James Baldwin. Yeah. He was definitely a major league pitcher.
$13 million, huh?
$13 million. Led the league in losses in 97.
I bet he's on Cameo. If he only made $13 million in his career, I bet he's on. You could get him on Cameo for a deal.
Yeah.
Maybe a future draft.
Led the league in wild pitches one year.
Oh, nice.
Sort of a wild man.
Yeah, that's good.
but also an all-star.
Good stuff. Doesn't always know where it's going. That year he did.
His all-star season, he had a 4.65 ERA.
What in the world? So was that? So the White Sox just needed an all-star? Or were the rest of the numbers?
That could be.
Maybe the first half numbers were good.
Did they have another all-star?
They announced all-stars at the midpoint of the year. Maybe he had a bad second half. Maybe he was on fire in that first half. Wild pitches start piling up. The ERA spikes.
They had other all-stars.
Oh, boy.
They had two other all-stars. Frank Thomas was second in the MVP that year, but was not an all-star.
What is happening? Going to need a 30 for 30 on that team. So James Baldwin, the random ball player of the day, each and every day in the grab bag. We have gone ice cold as a show, boys. We gotta pick that up.
Figure it out. Tomorrow's another day.
In the words of the great Hogdale, let's go, boys.
Let's go, boys.
Let's get to the clip du jour and check in with WEEI Afternoons next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe's WEEI. Jones, it is time for our clip du jour. Are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, we found out something about Jones. Jones is known to have questionable takes at best. Today, we may have found the most questionable.
The hottest.
And if you have your choice, what seat do you go for?
Window. Yeah. I used to be an aisle guy, but then I when people are like, "Oh, I got to go to the bathroom 3 times on a 2-hour flight," you're like, "What?"
I know. I don't mind middle. I don't mind middle.
This explains a lot, by the way.
You're middle, but you're not. Let's say you're with two strangers. You're not with like
I'm
your
not
wife
with
and
my
kid.
Family.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Middle with two strangers is an outrageous
probably
take.
More window, but like with my family, I always fly in the middle seat. Doesn't bother
Dibs
me one
on
bit.
Middle.
Yeah. Doesn't bother me one bit.
That is a psycho move.
Yeah, kid always takes the window. The cat always seat. Takes the aisle. I get middle seat every time I fly with my whole family. Every single time. Doesn't bother me one bit.
I think I've only flown once when we had just the one seat. In my life, I've been up like one time.
The old tin can in the sky. I think
kid sat in the middle because it was easier to contain her. It was less likely for her to be like.
Well, you didn't fly with both kids?
Well, it was in before we had the second one.
Oh, before
one.
You did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the it might have been in the belly of the mother, but it was the one active kid at the time.
Sick, bro.
But it was like,
bro.
They might. You know, because they're talking to everybody on the plane. They're like talking to this person. They want to get this person's attention and everything else. So if you were like. Put the kid in the middle, it's more likely to sort of stay focused on us and not everybody else. That's how we did it. So I think she just rode in the middle seat.
Yeah, I like both armrests. But you have armrests on all sides, but I feel like you get a little more
leeway.
You can
have double armrests, especially if you have your kid in the middle. You can have double armrests, no problem.
More,
on the
yeah,
side.
He fights me, though. I'll get a little more leeway when you're the middle one. There's some sympathy there. You Hart, your kids are older.
Yes.
But when they were young, what would you do? When you flew with four, what would you do? Like one parent with one with the other? How'd you do that?
No, we're usually, I feel like it's always three and one, and I'm always the one.
You're
I feel like my wife's always with the
that
kids,
makes sense.
And
you're
I'm
like,
either across the aisle
like,
or the next
you deal with
back.
The kids, I'm going to go take a nap over here.
No,
one
I don't
those.
Even,
yeah.
I don't think I booked it, so I don't think it was my doing.
You
it
showed
was,
up, they hand you a ticket, you're in row 20C. You're like, all right, great.
Great.
But yeah, when you
see
when we land.
Middle row? Because also in the middle of strangers,
it's really not that bad. It's unless so, you're it's an so a-hole. Wildly people, you guys overrate how bad the middle seat is.
It
way
sucks.
More.
No. It's way, awful. Way, with two people you don't know,
way overrated.
Chances are in this world you're getting a whack job on one side or the
other.
The
thing is, talks
too much, touches you, something.
Yeah. It is true, because then like the knees and the elbows are getting in the way.
The thing is, none of it's comfortable, though. People are like, oh, when you're on the window, it's much more comfortable. It's like, not really.
So, yes, it is. So
a little bit.
Window, you can really lean forward.
Yes. I disagree.
Aisle,
it's all,
we-
it's all weird angles and stuff over there.
It is.
No, yeah, you, I mean,
you can lean.
Try sticking your leg out, falling asleep, and then they run it over with the cart, like, well, or somebody walks by. Like, it's
oh,
actually
yeah.
not that
keep
much
your head
space.
On a swivel.
Yeah.
You do. I got one of the Super Bowls. I got whacked with the beverage cart.
That's what I'm saying.
So tired. Sting. Fell you know asleep. What? My head was, and she just hit the back
you
of
you know
when
that
off.
Doesn't happen? Middle seat. That's
yeah, it
true.
Also yeah. doesn't happen on the window seat.
Window seat, you're probably the best off. Middle's also
unless
bad
you go to
because
the bathroom.
It's a little chilly.
But
on
I'm
the
saying,
seat
like, window seat.
It's a little colder over there.
If the window person has to go to the bathroom, you still have to stand up in the middle, but yep. you don't get any of the benefit of the.
Yeah,
so yeah it's just a mess.
And I'm like a psycho. I always make sure I go to the bathroom before the plane leaves, so I feel like I'm pretty
yeah, but
set.
Wait,
going
on
in.
The plane?
No. Before you leave.
I got it. Hey, guys. Let me sneak in here real
Let
quick.
Let me tell you, we're in our 40s now. I can't even hold it a whole flight. Unless we're flying to like New York, I can't hold it a whole flight.
Camel.
I'll just sit
yeah,
there.
Me too.
I'll raw dog the flight.
I'm peeing like three times a flight
yeah,
these
I'll
days.
I'll be
yeah,
bouncing for a while before I get up. Yeah, no. And you don't get this, the middle armrest thing, though, unless you're an a-hole. You're not getting both.
No, I'm saying with
what
two
are you
strangers?
Like, just
two strangers.
Two strangers. I'm taking it. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tough guy over there. Yeah.
Alpha male.
His elbows like John Bones Jones with his elbows.
Yeah. Well, if somebody else leans their elbow in, people are leaning away. They don't want
you're
my elbows anywhere near them.
You're on a flight with Ted Johnson, Jermaine Wiggins. You're taking both elbow rests. I don't think so.
I'd win both. I would.
They would take the middle seat and tell you to get the hell out.
Jones has those bony elbows. You can kind of
get right in there.
All right.
Flap those wings. What's coming up on the program today?
So a lot of Patriots talk. I know you guys touched on this. Josh McDaniels, I thought some interesting comments there. We'll be doing some starting and stopping of his audio. Certainly the part about Drake May's the right guy.
Mm.
Yeah. As you like to say, you sure about that?
Yeah, sure about that? That's why.
Not too much on his plate. Well, you sure about that?
I know. It looks like that clip a lot.
So there's a lot there. Adam Schefter, he got bumped yesterday because the Red Sox, 3:15 today. Excuse me, we'll talk to him. And then 4:30.
Does he know anything about Gonzalez?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
He won't, but that's
no,
a good question.
No, I know,
question.
But like, good Lord.
It is very weird. And I can't embrace the contract thing.
Me neither.
Why?
I don't want to.
You can't have a contract.
Yeah, but you can start negotiating.
Yeah, but like, but you can't solve it with being like, all right,
yeah, but they
here's
could,
your new deal.
But they might be miles apart. Like
okay.
again,
they're also years apart. So
okay,
like,
well, they're not years apart. They when can he be offered a new deal?
After the season,
end
next winter.
End of this season.
So there's like a full year, and in
that's
contract
like,
negotiations,
that's like
forever.
That's like 6 months.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that offer I might have had on the table. If you don't play, it's off the table.
Yeah, well, what if
you
they're
bum?
What if they're already what if they're already miles?
Jeez, that took a turn.
What if they're miles and miles apart?
How could they be miles and miles apart? Like that far apart, this far from an actual contract.
How could the Patriots be miles and miles apart on
just
a contract
lie,
negotiation?
Just pretend.
I have
that's
no
what
idea.
I said. Yeah,
the
just feel like, yeah, this is all looking good. Like, yeah. Looking at this guy, but he all better
like,
go out
you didn't
there
even have
well.
To talk numbers. They
maybe,
go,
maybe
Sauce
that's
Gardner,
smart,
you go, maybe.
Maybe that's a smart thing to do. Have the Patriots acted like a smart organization recently?
So you think this is a smart play by a player? He's
no.
not eligible for a contract.
Look,
he's going to bitch so much about his contract
maybe,
he doesn't play.
Or maybe you just answered the question. Maybe his agents and him are just asking for way too much, and the Patriots are like, we'll give you what Sauce Gardner wants, but if you want more, you're nuts. I mean, it could be that. I don't
plus
know why you would buy
him,
into that.
Because you can't have it. Like, the time doesn't work. Like, to act, I mean, so you're basically saying this is a hold-in.
Yeah, because it's like an NBA player being like, give me the Supermax. Like, you don't qualify for
right.
the Supermax. We can't
well,
give
that
to you.
I'm not playing it until you get it to me. Well, then you'll never
not
get it.
Eligible for it.
Yeah, but this one, he can start asking for stuff. They can't offer it yet, but they can start negotiating. They're not going to wake up the day the league year ends and go, oh, let's start negotiating with Gonzalez. That'd be stupid.
Yeah,
but players sitting out, it doesn't really work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.